Campus Chronicles is the ultimate podcast for college students seeking real stories, honest advice, and empowering insights to thrive in student life and beyond. Hosted by Brooke Young and the Campus Chronicles team, this weekly show features inspiring interviews, practical tips, and conversations that tackle the challenges, wins, and personal growth that comes with university life. Perfect for college students, campus leaders, and young adults looking to make the most of their journey, one episode at a time. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube, and join the community redefining what it means to thrive in university. I'm so delighted to be with Philippa Charrier. She has just launched a book. She has so many incredible things to share. But before we get into all of that, what is your Campus Chronicles story?
Wow. Thank you very much, Brooke, for having me. Campus Chronicles story.
It's so hard, isn't it?
It is. There's so many. I had basically why I am doing what I'm doing now is because I had such a fabulous time at university. And I studied architecture for 3 years. Then I had a year out, went on to do a postgraduate for 2 years. And then I went back to university to do a master's in urban regeneration and design. So I have so many stories about university because I was there for so long. But really what sticks out to me was the community. My best friends, who are still my best friends today, living in a house, the talks we had around kitchen tables, putting the worlds to right, the stories, the parties we had in the shared lounge, just everything that happened in that house sticks with me. And that's exactly why I do what I do today, because of those memories that I had when I was living as a student.
That's beautiful. There's a song called The House That Built Me. And what you just described very much reminds me of that, because it talks in the song about how the house has so many memories and it built who you are as a person. And that's exactly what it sounds like.
Absolutely. Yeah. Completely agree with that.
I love that. You've done something amazing. You have launched a book for university students. Why? What inspired you to write this?
I started, so as I just said, I was at university for a long time. I worked all over the world as an urban regenerator, like an architect, urban designer, working in urban regeneration all over the world, which was fabulous. Loved that job. Then when I started having children, I had to rethink my career. So really, it started back from then. And my two loves, obviously, I wanted to have children and I loved architecture. So I wanted to create a job where I could be around and, you know, have my children and they could be part of my life with me. Property developing gave me that option. And with my background in architecture, it was perfect. When I started looking at properties to invest in, I came across student accommodation. Now, as we've just talked about with the Campus Chronicles, my background, my memories of being a student was all about the house, all about the community formed. When I started looking at properties to buy as student accommodation, I was horrified that basically it had all changed. The landlords had, what they were doing was squeezing the spaces, making bedrooms. So the lounges had disappeared. So then you had a kitchen lounge. So there wasn't enough social space for each person. There weren't enough chairs for the occupants to sit at. There weren't enough sofas. You know, it was just
not enough chairs.
So there wouldn't be enough. There'd be like, it might look, well, the ones that I saw didn't look great. But now what I see is a lot of people are designing beautiful looking accommodation, but they haven't got enough chairs. So they might look great, but they're not actually designed for the people that are living in there.
And they're not functional.
They're not functional. Exactly. So they're not functional. And that really upset me because I was wandering around these houses, pregnant, had a toddler on my hip and looking, thinking, oh my goodness, students, young people, these are people's children living in this accommodation. Now, my student house, as I remembered, you know, it was grotty, it was awful, but it had the basics of, you know, community, that I could build the community. So the rooms were big enough to actually be able to rearrange furniture how I wanted it. I had a big window. The proportions were right. You know, they weren't sort of squished in bedrooms to sort of fit an ensuite. We were able, you know, we didn't have ensuites. We were used a bathroom. So we would actually then nudge to meet people on the corridor and just basic design skills. And what I see now with a lot of property is that people are putting in en-suites and cutting up the bedrooms. And it's just not functioning well as a building. The houses aren't working well. And then the other side of that, you've got the purpose-built student accommodation where, you know, a brochure, you look at a brochure and it's all fabulous. But actually getting into the nitty gritty of it, you know, you've got studios where students don't actually ever have to leave. Courses are online. You know, you don't have to leave your bedroom if you don't want to.
And that's not healthy either.
And it's not healthy. And you've got these phones and all these students are brought up now. They're on front facing cameras. It takes a lot for somebody to actually put your phone down and go and chat to somebody. And so this was my mission, that it started off like that. I went as part of design, I went to judge an international design competition. And that was fantastic. We had students from all over the world. And I spent a lot of time with the students because I love young people. I was chatting with them, trying to find out the nitty gritty, what's happening, how they find student life now. And what came up was overpressure, overwork, and medication. And every single student I spoke to was on medication.
Every single one?
It was just eye-opening. And the stories from the studio apartments that they lived in, the purpose-built apartments, one of their friends or somebody they knew in their building had died by suicide. Nobody found the body for days. And stories like this is just, this is why I do what I do, because I want to make change and I don't want my children going through this. And, you know, there are just so many sad stories. It's completely changed university. And, you know, this is my mission for the book, to empower students to survive and to thrive at university.
Similarly, here at the podcast, one of the things that has been thematic for us is, yes, university has so many incredible learning experiences, but the flip side of that coin, right, is that there is setbacks, there is struggle, so much that people aren't talking about because it is taboo. We even had a guest on recently who had a very poor university experience and what that was like for her, feeling like she couldn't tell anybody that she was struggling, feeling completely isolated. And to your point, the point that you make in your book about surviving and thriving, there's a tremendous difference between the way that those two things feel. What does it feel like to survive versus what does it feel like to thrive in uni life? Because those are very, very different.
Yeah. And it's also, I think throughout, it's very hard for people nowadays. We're living in a very strange environment. You know, we're built for the savannah. We're not built for 24/7 Uber Eats and sitting on a sofa and get everything delivered. You know, we've got ultra processed food. We've got social media, you know, that's telling us that we're social, but we're not social. We're just in front of, you know, an AI, billion-pound AI that's throwing us all this stuff that we're looking at. So it is a very different world. And I think there's so much pressure on young people nowadays to achieve, to go, you know, what is achievement? What is achieving? You know, is it achieving in life? You know, for me, for what I want for my children is to be healthy and happy. You know, that is number one, is, you know, healthy and happy. And whatever else, you can build everything from a foundation in well-being. Once you've got that right, everything else fits into place. So the first book we wrote, my husband and I, which was designed for well-being. So this is basically for universities, for architects and property developers. to basically my knowledge of designing spaces to enhance well-being. It's all down there. That was the first one that we wrote, and that was in 2020. And that's really just showing how you can create student accommodation that outperforms the market.
That's an amazing concept, though, tying in the physical space that you live in to your emotional, spiritual, and mental wellness. I love that.
Yeah. So that was the first one. And basically it came out because as humans, we're spending 90% of our time in buildings and 65% of that time in our homes. So for students, if you translate those percentages, that's 2 years out of a 3-year degree in their home. So 2 years. And it's probably even more now with more online learning. So our homes are foundational where they live, even if it's not, you know, classed as a home, it's student accommodation, which I don't really like the word of student accommodation. I think that they are homes and they need to be seen as a space, not just a temporary space that they're living in. It's their home. All these fundamental things, which I talk about in the next book, which is Student Thrive Mode, is there are 6 pillars. And it's really, I've researched and researched and researched and taken all the medical research, all the success-driven, all the biohackers, the neurosurgeons, the doctors, the GPs, the everybody everywhere and what they're saying. And I've taken all that information over the last 2 years, as well with all the information that I've got from running student properties for the last 12 years, and put it into an easy digestible book, which is basically a toolkit for students to thrive and succeed at university. So that's really how it sort of all comes together. And it's sort of, it's something that I want my children to have, a book, you know, that they've got this toolkit, very easy to read, lots of hacks, lots of ways to empower them and, yeah, and hopefully succeed at university.
Well, this is beautiful. You have so much passion for it. And that's what we love here. For me, one of the reasons that I'm so passionate about hosting this podcast is my university experience was not great in a lot of different regards. And to your point about what you're saying, taking this advice and putting it in a very digestible format, that's going to decrease the overwhelm, because I think so many people want to focus on their emotional wellness or their mental health or even their physical health, but knowing where to start can be such a challenge and prevent you from getting there. Where should students start if they want to get more well?
Well, really, there's a lot of noise, as we talked about with social media. There's so many people selling you stuff, especially as students. It's just
people you shouldn't listen to, too.
Yeah. And you just pick up, you know, you go on Instagram, you go on whatever, and you can see 2 experts, so-called experts, they might be experts, whatever, saying completely conflicting views, you know, how to lose weight, how to do this. Somebody will say, go on the vegan diet, go on the, you know, all protein, all carnivore diet. You know, there's so many conflicting noise, which is the best exercise to have, which is this. And there's always somebody that's going to be completely cutting down what you say because somebody else has the opposite. So it's also taking all that noise, and everything in my book is free. It's all free hacks. It's basically telling you that, you know, if you exercise for 20 minutes, whatever, move your body for 20 minutes, that then actually allows you to retain 20% more information after you've studied by doing simple, you know, jumping jacks, whatever it is, whatever you want.
And you're going to feel so much better.
You're going to feel great. And you're probably going to then, it's all these nudge effects, you know, you're going to go out. And also about socializing, the big thing is 1 in 5 students. I mean, the stats are awful. 1 in 5 students say they don't have a single friend. Now, again, going back to me being at university, I'm still 30. I mean, it's 30 years since I went first of all to university, and I am still best friends with those people that I met on the first day of halls. Now, to me, when I hear a headline in the newspaper saying that one in five don't have a friend, and that, you know, we know that smoking 15 cigarettes a day is the same as feeling lonely. You know, it's as bad for our health. Social isolation is bad for our health than as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. So when you put those two together, then you've got all these developers that are designing studio buildings that are beautiful, that cost an absolute fortune. So that's going to impact their financial ability to, you know, survive. That's another key problem with well-being is financial implications. It's not making sense. None of this is making sense. So, going back to your question about what
I love all your sharing. So no sorries, no sorries.
The most important thing, I think, it's trying to get yourself away from this thing, this phone that's in your hand, that's everywhere. Because even just having it next to us, you know, there's so much research that's been done, just having it on, even in your blazer pocket. There's studies with students, school students, that even just having it in your blazer pocket, you are not going to retain the information that your teacher's teaching you. You know, having it in front of you when your friends are there talking, you're completely distracted. You're not taking in as much information as when your friend's talking to you. So I think for me, out of all the research I've done, is to try and just have more, turn the notifications off your phone, leave it away from your bed, take it away from your bed, put it the other side of the room. And
please don't sleep with it in your bed. I've heard that's popular now.
Do not sleep with it. Do not have it as your alarm. If it's your alarm clock by your bed, put it the other side of the room. So you have to get up and turn it off. But it's so easy. And you're fighting against, you know, AI, billion-pound AI systems that are keeping you scrolling and scrolling and want your attention. And that is just, that's awful for your well-being, because you're not sleeping. Then the knock-on effects of that blue light, your melatonin, you're not going to sleep as well. So that, to me, would be number one key. I mean, my daughter's 14, and she has Snapchat on her phone. And, you know, she did this whole big pitch to us. I said, you're not having social media, you're not having social media. And she was telling us that it's all about community with her. All her friends were on it, so that was it. So I was like, okay, let's try it, let's see what happens. Her notifications, she is constantly buzzing, because somebody's keeping up their snap streak, taking a photo of the floor or whatever, just to keep their snap streak going. And I'm thinking, what on earth is this? How on earth can you concentrate?
Why do you want to see a photo of the floor? I'm not in the Snapchat era, so my question is, why is a photo of a floor worth your stress and your time?
Exactly. And it's just trying to convey that to them, that this is, you know, your future. What are you doing looking at a photo of a floor? Come on, we can do something better. But I just keep going into a phone and turning off the notifications and stop it, because otherwise it's buzz. And it's just ridiculous. So it's really just having a better relationship with your phone. They're not going to go anywhere, these phones. We're going to have them, and we just need to learn how to work with them. And, you know, we are the boss, not them, and know that they are manipulating us. And it's just trying to get that, that story there.
Thank you for humanizing the phones, because I don't think we say that enough. They very much have their own personality and characteristics with the rise of AI. They very much feel like oftentimes your most trusted companion, because it's with you throughout so much of your life. Was there a tip or a strategy or something when you were putting together this book that helped you?
All of it. And going back to my children, they're constantly like, oh, for God's sake, Mom, did you hear that on a podcast? Did you read that in the research paper? Did you do this? Did you do that? They're growing up listening to me saying, well, don't do this, don't do that. But I think a lot of it, when I was writing the book and I started getting a bit stuck on something, I bought a treadmill through this time because I was like, I hate sitting down. Sitting down is just, we're not designed to sit down. And neuroplasticity, understanding and learning about neuroplasticity and knowing that when you're running, if you can run, your brain makes new connections. And that's fascinating to me. So whenever I got stuck on writing the book, I imagined myself to be a student and back studying, because basically that's what I've done for the last 2 years, reading research, taking it, making it my own.
You're definitely in student mode.
I am absolutely, I love learning. This is why I do it. I absolutely love learning. And so I'd run on the treadmill for 20, 30 minutes, and then I'd come off, I'd feel brilliant, and I'd be back again. So whenever I was stuck, I'd stop, go and run, even though I knew I had all these deadlines that I'd set for myself because I was setting them all myself. And I'd be off running or walking in nature, listening to podcasts. When you're in nature, you've retained so much more information. So it was really, yeah, it was very good for me to write the book. Also, obviously, there's so much stress involved in writing a book, but it was great to have this subject to write about so that I could pick up all these tools and take them into my everyday life, which, and my children's lives as well.
To your point about writing a book, you put all the tools into practical application so you know whether or not they work.
Yeah.
I love it. So I have a challenging question for you. I know you're going to rise to the occasion. Oh. If you were going to give 3 pieces of advice to university age students, what would those 3 pieces of advice be?
Go make a friend. Go make a friend. The most important thing is go out of your comfort zone. Even if it's very challenging for you to go and meet somebody, try out first. Go to a cafe. Start talking to the barista. If you talk somebody in the line, make it, just get out of your comfort zone to talk to somebody. If you see somebody sitting in a waiting room, if you see somebody, put your phone down, put your phone in your back pocket, anywhere, out of sight, and just say, oh, hi, the weather, talk about the weather. In England, everybody talks about the weather. So, you know, that's nothing surprising. People will love that. People will love that. They're warm to you. And it's just about just getting out of your comfort zone. If that sounds, some people rise to the occasion, would love to talk to anybody. But it's just put your phone away. Look outside, look at the trees, look at nature. Just try and talk to people and be, you know, no matter how many followers you've got on Instagram, TikTok, whatever, they're not real people. Just put your phone away and look around you, and just, that's number one. Number two, if you can, just try and bring in more vegetables into your diet, even if it's just reducing the amount of ultra-processed food that you eat. You will feel better. What you're eating is not, you know, you are, again, students are heavily marketed to about eating, you know, ultra-processed food, everything, noodles, instant whatever.
Everything quick and everything convenient.
Yeah, just try eggs, no problem. You know, crack a few eggs. Frozen vegetables don't cost much. You can use frozen vegetables, egg, put them together, you've got a great meal. You know, just simple things that just try one meal, just reduce it down from ultra-processed food. Try and get something that is natural, is healthy, it's there's so much noise about what's healthy and what's not, so that doesn't really help, but just something that would go off, that's in the fridge, or, you know, some vegetables don't have any information about what's the nutritional value of it, because they don't need to, because it's good. Anything that says it's healthy will not be healthy. Just, you know, fruit, veg, whatever else, you know, there's anything that's not that's not marketed as healthy. And, you know, you will realize how incredible life can be with just a few different, having a savory breakfast, for example, rather than a sugary cereal breakfast, how much more you will concentrate in your lectures, how much more time you'll have. You won't feel sluggish, you won't feel tired and falling asleep in the lectures. So just simple hacks, and that's what the book's about. It's just very, very simply, not big overhaul, just simply changing different habits and just, yeah. So number three, I realize I've done two. Number three, try and move your body more. We sit down for so much time. And especially
when it's so normalized in our culture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't even need to get off the sofa now. You know, you can get food delivered to your sofa practically. You can...
I know they do the drone delivery services now.
Yeah.
For the Uber Eats. I just learned about that this week.
Yeah, that is, it's just crazy. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. And it's comical when, you know, if we go back 200,000 years ago, or even 100 years ago, and started talking about what is on our supermarket.
Even 50 years ago.
Yeah. It's 20 years ago, probably as well. You know, it's just completely changed. And what we eat is not food. What we're pushed to eat, because it's marketing. Again, it's all come down to making money and marketing. And students, again, unfortunately, are the key age group that, you know, these companies are marketing to, and through TikTok, through Instagram, through Facebook, you know, it's ads, billboards, you know, through on campus, even on campus, you get all these. Somebody sent me today, information, a picture of have a healthy breakfast, or not a healthy breakfast, make sure you eat well before lectures. And it was, you know, Orangina that you think, because it's orange juice, but it's been in a tank probably for 20 years and not ever seen, you know, any oranges. And then, you know, some, I don't know, some bun or muffin or something. And that's being sold as a healthy eat. Now, if I ate that, I'd be falling asleep in the lectures. I would just, you know. So I think it's also listening to your body and how your body reacts to something. If you're eating ultra-processed food or whatever you eat, just listen to yourself and just listen to what your body is saying. And if you're falling asleep, it's probably not the right thing to be eating. Go for a walk, see how you feel, you know, just go out into nature. Nature is, you know, it's so important for us because we've evolved to live with nature.
And now we don't have any natural light, just artificial. My very, very close friend is a dietitian. And when people are not sure what to eat or if something is processed or not, she said one of the simplest ways to tell that's incredibly easy is, does it grow on a tree? Does it grow in the ground? Does it come from the natural world? And if it does come from the natural world, chances are there's some really good nutrients and minerals and vitamins and things that you need within there. And so she said, if you're going to like the market, that is one of the easiest rule of thumb ways that you can use to know what you're putting in your body.
Yeah, absolutely perfect. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah.
Well, that's what she shared with me. And guys, you really do need to move your body more. I'll tell you, I didn't move my body before the podcast today, and I'm a little sleepy. But I've had such an incredible time with you. If somebody wants to purchase the book, if they want to start implementing these tips into their life, where do they go to find it?
Wherever you would buy a book, wherever you buy a book, Amazon, Waterstones, every bookshop, it's there, it's online. And if you want, you could buy it directly from my website, which is philippacharrier.com. It's C-H-A-R-R-I-E-R. It's a French name, so it's confusing, but Charrier, Philippa Charrier. And it's all the information's on there, as well as a Thrive check-in. I've done a quiz that you can do to see how well you're thriving. So there's that's free on there as well.
I love that. It's measurable. So that's amazing. Absolutely. You're so in alignment with what we want to talk about here at Campus Chronicles. And I'm so excited about our conversation because it's some of those little tweaks that you can make that make you feel so much better. And for me, I have celiac disease. So by nature, I can't eat a lot of ultra-processed food. And I really, everything she said was incredible. But I really want you to listen to that second piece of advice she gave, because you really will feel both tremendously better in your physical body and tremendously better about yourself. And when you feel better about yourself, you make incredible choices. So I feel amazing about the content that we have partnered to put together into this world. You have so much passion for helping students, and I've just had such a great time with you. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much, Brooke. Thank you.
Yes, and thank you so much to everybody who listened to another episode of the Campus Chronicles podcast. So if today's episode gave you life, perspective, or just a much needed moment to breathe in a busy world, I don't want you to keep it to yourself. Share it, tag us, please send it to a friend who needs to hear it. And if you're not on our newsletter yet, what are you doing? Go to campuschroniclespod.com and join the crew. We have all the behind the scenes things, unfiltered thoughts from me and the team, bonus resources, and insider only invites to events, giveaways, and things that we really don't post anywhere else. I promise I'm not going to spam you. It's just the good stuff straight to your inbox. Being in university is wild enough. You don't need to miss out on what matters. Sign up now and let's make this next semester the one that you stop surviving and start thriving. Until next time, stay bold, stay curious, keep writing your own chapter. This is Campus Chronicles.